tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with developing news from North Korea. An American soldier will be headed home soon to face the music after he bolted over the DMZ 2 months ago. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
Private Travis King will be allowed to leave North Korea. Pyongyang says he's admitted to entering the country illegally. He had faced disciplinary action here in the U.S. and served nearly 2 months in detention in South Korea before he left Seoul's airport and wandered into North Korean territory after joining a tour group. Pyongyang said he was protesting inhumane treatment and racial discrimination within the U.S. Army.
Now to Hollywood, where union writers are a happy bunch.
We are thrilled, so like I had to call some people out to like have some fun, celebrate, because we got so much of what we wanted. Like, it's overwhelming.
WGA board members have approved a new 3-year contract agreement with studios and streamers, ending the 4-month-old strike that shut down the entertainment industry. The rank and file will begin voting on the deal next week. It includes a 12.5% minimum pay increase, more streaming residuals, and new protections against AI. A judge in New York has ruled former President Trump lied for years about his wealth, sharply exaggerating the value of his real estate holdings. Correspondent Scott McFarland.
In the ruling, the judge found Trump and top executives at the Trump Organization lied about his assets in order to secure favorable loans and lower insurance premiums. In one instance, claiming his 10,000 square foot apartment was roughly 30,000 square feet.
Democratic Senator Bob Menendez is scheduled to appear in court this morning to face charges of taking bribes from 3 New Jersey businessmen. He continues to refuse growing calls for his resignation after federal prosecutors accused Menendez and his wife of accepting gold bars and hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash. At least 100 people were killed in a fire at a celebration in the Middle East.
It happened after a wedding in a predominantly Christian area of northern Iraq. Footage posted on social media appears to show a firework sparking a fire in the ceiling of the wedding hall as the bridal couple watch in horror. Security officials have detained some of the staff. It's believed flammable building materials made the venue go up like a torch. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
The group that awards the Oscars says it will replace Hattie McDaniel's award.
My heart is too full to tell you just how I feel.
She won it in 1940 for her supporting performance in Gone with the Wind. It went missing from Howard University's drama department in the late 1960s. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Cranberry Even juice, motors. Cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org, brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
I am Pat Breitlow, yes, and we are up here on Lake Wissota on this Wednesday, September 27th. That would make this World Tourism Day, National Women's Health and Fitness Day, National Chocolate Milk Day, National Corned Beef Hash Day, National Scarf Day, National No Excuses Day, Sam.
What do I have to excuse?
I have no idea. I have no excuse not to read all of these. It also says here it's National Morning Show Hosts Day.
Whoa.
Now, well, who comes up with this stuff? I mean, it's kind of like National, you know, Children's Day. Isn't every day Children's Day? Isn't every day Morning Show Host Day? I mean, we got to be here anyway. So I don't know what was supposed to be done special for me. Or, and does it count after, you know, 8 a.m.? Does it count Chad Holmes and everybody else? You know, they're morning hosts, technically, before noon.
Yeah, yeah, like late.
So morning, yeah. I'm going to need to know more about this alleged National Morning Show Host Day. But whatever it is, we're happy to be here. Sam Davison is down in Madison at the Civic Media Control Center. Also takes your calls at 844-967-2789. Among our topics, you're aware that President Joe Biden joined the auto workers' picket line yesterday. It's only the latest display on how workers are demanding better pay and conditions, and not just from big industrial companies like right here in Wisconsin, whether it's mid-sized video game developers or small coffee shops. Workers are continuing to move toward wanting a greater say in the workplace, and they want to be paid better. They want better conditions. They want more stable scheduling. Labor reporter J.T. Saskowski will be joining us this hour to talk more about that. We will also talk to Todd Alba, who once had a morning show, but is now in the afternoons, and so this is not a special day for him. If you missed our last hour, we talked about agrivoltaics, a word I'd never used until this week, but it's basically about using farmland and not just turning it over into solar farms, but doing it in a way that lets you continue to work the land as well and grow crops. And so if you missed that, you can listen back over at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, or you can subscribe to this here radio show as a podcast. Go to Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Look up Up North News, Up North News Radio, and you'll find us there, because Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. You find the work that we do over at upnorthnewswi.com. But again, we'd love to have your phone calls here at 844-967-2789. All right, as I mentioned in the last hour, the Senate, both Democrats and Republicans, are working together on a measure to temporarily fund the government. House Republicans continue fighting amongst themselves, trying to force massive domestic spending cuts or force a government shutdown. The stakes are rising. Millions of federal employees would be furloughed. The military would be left without pay. It would disrupt air travel. It would cut off some vital safety net services. And Congresswoman Gwen Moore appeared on CNBC yesterday to echo the argument being made by President Biden on why this is all unnecessary. Remember the debt limit debate this spring? A deal was reached that included deficit reduction. And as far as Gwen Moore and Joe Biden and others are concerned, that's a deal Republicans need to keep and not renege on in order to shut down the government.
Democrats are willing to help prevent a shutdown, but I don't think it's sustainable to say that after the agreement that Republicans made to cut the deficit by almost $1.5 trillion, they want another $120 billion on top of that, in addition to all of these other extraneous things that may show up in a bill. You know, we got to impeach Joe Biden. We got to put abortion riders in. We can't provide funding for Ukraine. And I do think, you know, the deficit is a concern, but I just want the Representative Schweiker to be very, very transparent. You know, number one, the deficit, will you consider George W. Bush and Donald Trump? No other president has increased the deficit as much as he has. Notwithstanding the deficit, he still has had the greatest increases because of this propensity and need to cut taxes to the very wealthy and then lie about how it's going to somehow trickle down to regular people.
That was Gwen Moore yesterday and on CNBC talking about, again, there was a deal earlier this spring. And President Biden tweeted the same thing, saying that if the government shuts down, it means members of our military are going to be on duty but unpaid. There's no reason for us to be in this position, the president writes. Just a few months ago, we reached a bipartisan budget agreement on spending. We shook hands, and now they're reneging on the deal. Now, one more note on that, and I want to, for all of the times that I pick on the national press for both sides in things or for not offering perspective, I want to single out Leanne Caldwell, formerly of NBC News, now the Washington Post, for really getting it right in a single tweet that she put up yesterday, where she quotes a reporter who says to House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, says to him, "What are the chances of a government shutdown?" And McCarthy responds, "I don't know. You'd have to ask President Biden." And Leanne Caldwell says, "This is a distortion of reality. McCarthy can't pass a continuing resolution without Republican votes, and he refuses to pass one with Democratic votes. President Biden has nothing to do with this." So when Kevin McCarthy is trying to shift blame to the president's made clear, "We had a deal. We shook hands. You're the one going back on the deal. You should work with Democrats and keep your word." We'll unpack the news further after a check on weather and sports coming up right after this break. You're up north.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2023 Bank of America N.A.
Here's to trekking through a kaleidoscope of fall color in Wisconsin. To being like, who's up for whitewater rafting? And turning stories into souvenirs. Here's to rich traditions made new again with good company. And seasonal flavors that taste even better when shared with friends. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your fall getaway at travelwisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Love.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Oktoberfest in La Crosse, where we went to college, our fine alma mater.
It's true. The tour continues with a stop during Oktoberfest. Mike and Dom broadcasting live from La Crosse Friday, September 29th, starting at 4.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, I forgot one birthday in our history lesson and music break. Happy birthday to Avril Lavigne, who is now 39 years old today. 7 o'clock temperatures include Lake Wissota at 60 degrees, Madison's at 63, Waukesha 61, La Crosse coming in at 65 degrees, Wausau is 60, Wisconsin Rapids 63, Green Bay up to 62, and Hayward now reporting 59 degrees. Time to get a check on the forecast all across the state of Wisconsin. The precipitation is here and there, and allegedly a big warm-up could be off on the horizon as well. Let's get all the details from weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yep, well, it looks like today we can expect to see a chance for showers and storms for all today. More of a slight chance around Amory and Baldwin. Temperature-wise, though, not much movement overall from yesterday. Highs in the mid to upper 60s today. Most locations are already in the 60s right now, so overall just kind of holding pretty steady. Looks like a dry second half of the work week for most. Cloudy skies on Thursday for everyone with highs in the upper 60s to low 70s. Slightly cooler along Lake Michigan. Friday, sunny skies for most. A bit more cloud cover around Wausau and a slight chance for showers for west central Wisconsin. Warmer overall, though, for your Friday, though, with a high into the mid to low 70s. Warmer around southwestern Wisconsin getting into the upper 70s. Then for the weekend, sunshine expected for all with our warmest days this forecast. Highs ranging from the mid 70s to low 80s primarily. Once again, our warmest spots in southwestern Wisconsin around Richland Center getting into the mid 80s, which will actually be over 15 degrees above normal for this time of the year.
I would say, though, that if you want a case of, you know, best of both worlds, it's that the leaves have been changing, the leaves are starting to fall. And so if folks are going to do any kind of a road trip or weekend activity to see it, I suppose better to check out the fall colors when it's closer to 80 than, you know, a cold rain or something like that. So how's that for glass half full?
Exactly. I love it. Perfect.
All right. Or the tree half full, as the case may be. Yeah. Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology checking in with us as she does every day to give us that forecast for the day. Let's turn to sports now. The Brewers lost again to the last place St. Louis Cardinals, 4-1. It doesn't matter. The Milwaukee Brewers are still your Central Division champions after the Cubs lost last night. Hey, Sam, I apologize. I didn't give you a heads up for that. But that Cubs highlight that we started the 6 a.m. hour with was so good. Can you cue that up and give me a wave?
I'll get it pulled up.
Just give me a wave when you're ready for it. Because, again, while the Brewers shouldn't be losing to the last place team, again, it's all about tune-ups and keeping people loose and healthy because they were going to the playoffs. All we needed was the Cubs to lose. And boy, did they ever. They were up 6-0 at one point in Atlanta, and they gave it all up, especially at the very end of the game when Sean Murphy put up a fly ball. The Cubs right fielder just had to make a catch, and it didn't turn out that way at all.
Murphy, shallow right center, but it hangs up in the air.
And that's really the Cubs' second half of the season in a nutshell right there. Adrian Hauser retired the first 9 batters for Milwaukee last night, then gave up 4 runs. But again, even though we lost 4-1, the Cubs helped us clinch the division title. Wade Miley will pitch for the Brewers tonight at American Family Field against the Cardinals. And then the Cubs come to town for the final 3 games of the regular season. Then we'll see about the postseason. The Brewers could be playing the Cubs in the postseason, or the Cubs might not make the postseason at all. Right now, they're in the last wild card spot. But Miami is only a half a game behind them. The Reds are only a game and a half behind them. So we don't know yet who the Brewers are going to be playing in the wild card round of the playoffs Tuesday, Wednesday, and maybe Thursday of next week at American Family Field. I would be remiss not to mention the passing of Brooks Robinson, the greatest third baseman in the history of the game. And I will say, as a very, very young baseball fan back in the day, I knew about Brooks Robinson. The Baltimore Orioles were a force right around that 1968 to 1970 period. And Brooks Robinson, there was nothing he couldn't field out there at third base. But it wasn't just that. It wasn't just the 16 gold gloves. But he was just so folksy and so pleasant. Everybody said that. Everybody said there was, you know, everything. What you saw was what you got out of the real Brooks Robinson. It is a shame that he has passed away as the Orioles are having one of their best seasons since he was running the show there, since he was helping them to pennants and titles. But hopefully he continues to inspire the Orioles on, at least until the point where they might, you know, meet the Brewers in the postseason. But again, Brooks Robinson passing away at 86 degrees. Dick from Madison is with us and wanted to talk a bit about the way that government's been operating or not operating as we careen toward a likely now government shutdown, I think. Dick, good morning. What's on your mind?
Well, just this. If you want more of this constant dysfunction, after yesterday's ruling in New York, how that experiment with a let's have a businessman run the country.
Yeah.
You know, he did the same things. He'll break deals, breaks treaties with countries, tries to pull us out of NATO. And this situation in New York, he just did the same thing on a national scale, from my perspective.
Mm-hmm. No, he really did. And you give me a nice opening to make this point, Dick. Thank you for that. That here's what we've needed in politics, and here's what Trump's been blowing up. What you need is an agreed upon set of facts. And it started from the very beginning with Donald Trump about the crowd size at his inauguration and where we heard about alternative facts. And when you can't agree on the facts, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say it that way. When one person or one side won't agree on what is a fact, you're never going to be able to have that person negotiate or reach a deal in good faith. And so a guy who did that is the same guy who engaged in fraudulent business practices for decades, inflating the value of his property, inflating the size of his property. Again, if you can't agree upon a set of facts, if you can't agree upon a set of values, if you can't agree upon whether you got more votes than the other side, then there is no dealing with this person on an honorable basis. And you would think at some point they would basically be subjected to justice for the lies that they told. And that's exactly the case here. Donald Trump is now facing the consequences for his actions post-election, and he's facing the consequences for his actions as a business owner. It's taken far too long in both instances, but it is happening. Speaking of ethics and consequences, I would like to say how pleased I am that the concerns I expressed a day or two ago have been allayed. And that was that, you know, would Democrats not speak out forcefully against corrupt New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez, who is again facing felony corruption charges? Well, the dam broke with Cory Booker, his fellow New Jersey Democratic senator, releasing a statement, and you know, their friends, their colleagues, and he said, look, he may enjoy the presumption of innocence in court, but he can no longer be an effective senator and he needs to resign. Tammy Baldwin put that sentiment up yesterday as well. It was a dozen senators by noon. It was two dozen Democratic senators by the end of the day. And again, not one of them said, we ought to defund these investigations. We ought to investigate the investigators, the way that Republicans have been saying about the U.S. Department of Justice and the investigations into Trump. So again, You can have your side in anything, your team, your political party, whatever your side is, your company in competition with another company. But when there's a bad apple, not a bruised one, a bad one that threatens to, you know, spoil the whole bunch, you can't defend it. You can't. And you see why in the apple analogy, it works every time. And Democrats are doing the right thing here, saying to Bob Menendez, hey, go on trial. You beat the rap last time and the voters voted for you, but you don't have to do it with our help. You don't have to do it with us trying to trash the very justice system that has found all of this evidence against you. Republicans should be so fortunate to show that kind of a spine. And guess who called them out on it yesterday? Paul Ryan. And by the way, this is not any full-throated endorsement of Paul Ryan, as you're about to hear, but give him his due that at least yesterday at a UW campus event in Madison organized by the Robert La Follette School of Public Affairs, he made clear Republicans will lose the presidential election next year if Donald Trump is the nominee. Ryan said, quote, the party that puts the first fresh face forward wins the election. Well, that's not true. He's trying to, again, save face, noting that Democrats are going to put up Joe Biden, and he's hoping Republicans will put up somebody else. But look at who the younger faces are in the Republican Party. These are people who were inspired by Paul Ryan, who was Speaker of the House during the government shutdown in 2018, which lasted a record-long 36 days. Paul Ryan says of those current Republicans, the people he inspired to run for office, it's nihilism, rooting for a shutdown, some publicly, some privately. He says, quote, we look like fools. We look like we can't govern. Well, that's because you can't. And that's where we make sure the note, Paul Ryan has no credibility on the topic of Republican leadership. None. His only accomplishment has been to help create the budget crisis we have now by slashing taxes back then for the very wealthy. That's the cornerstone of his political philosophy. Don't give him credit for knowing how to dress up that ideology in moderate-sounding words. Don't give him credit for not frothing at the mouth like the current Republicans in Congress, because they are the Republicans he inspired to run on a foundation of cut programs for most middle-class Americans and cut taxes for the very wealthy. It doesn't matter if that's Donald Trump with that philosophy or somebody that doesn't have Trump's baggage but still embraces that mindset. If you're not out there standing for something that is going to help Americans with their big issues, with inflation, with affordable child care, with health care, if all you're going to do is run against government and stand with big business, most Americans are seeing through that and will continue to. And by the way, to that end, a quick note, news yesterday that now federal regulators and 17 states are suing Amazon over allegations that the e-commerce behemoth has abused its position in the marketplace to inflate prices on and off its platform, overcharging its sellers and stifling competition. It's the result of a years-long investigation into the company's businesses. It's one of the most significant legal challenges brought against it in its nearly 30-year history. And again, that's what happens when a government stands for the people and does not have this attitude of what's good for business is good for America. What's good for Americans is what's good for America. And that's where you see more workers than ever demanding better conditions and union representation if need be. And we'll talk to reporter J.T. Saskowski about that and the labor issues that he covers in Wisconsin. That's coming up right after this break. You're up north.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. North Korea is kicking out U.S. soldier Travis King, who entered the country in July. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer.
King has confessed to illegally entering the country, but it remains a mystery why they chose this moment to expel him.
He faces disciplinary action in the U.S. The Hollywood writer's strike is over after the union board approved a 3-year contract that includes more pay and protections against AI. CBS's Jared Hill.
Late night talk shows, the first to go dark, could be the first to return. The writers still have to vote to ratify the contract early next month, but they can work during that process.
U.S. astronaut Frank Rubio is finally back on Earth after 371 days at the International Space Station.
Touchdown confirmed at 6:17 a.m. Central Time.
He and two cosmonauts landed in Kazakhstan this past half hour. Their mission doubled after their original capsule was hit by space junk. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
Union Town, all down the line. And if you come to strip our rights away, we'll give you hell every time. This is a Union Town, all down the line. Today the policeman.
It is my great honor to bring on a previous colleague from Up North News and now a reporter with WKOW-TV in Madison, J.T. Saskowski, who covers labor issues, among other things. And so we wanted to review some of the stories that he's been working on for the past couple of years here and then there, and really how it extends into, you know, the rest of the country. But, you know, so much of the focus is on Michigan. But I thought let's bring in JT to talk about how really there have been things going on in Wisconsin for a couple of years now, all in this same vein of people have had enough of feeling badly treated, and you know, they are right to expect better. JT, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, I do so much. I'm so glad to have you here. You know, this goes long before the auto workers went on strike. If you were to say to people like yourself, you know, is there anything equivalent to this in Wisconsin? I know that I would have mentioned two things, and I have a couple of times in the program already. I've mentioned some coffee shop chains. Some people have heard of Starbucks, but there have been others as well. And also in the video game industry. And so I don't know if you want to start with one or the other, but when somebody asks you, what's been the situation with, you know, labor wanting a fairer shake in Wisconsin? Where do you tend to start?
I tend to think about big picture and not with either of those individual stories, actually, Pat, of how Wisconsin fits into the national trend that we've been seeing in a resurgence of organized labor over the last couple of years. Wisconsin has been part of that same wave where I'm sure people have seen headlines of Starbucks unionizing across the country, some of these other high-profile labor fights, Amazon and the like. Wisconsin's right in the thick of that, too. We have so many different shops that are pushing for union elections or have been over the last couple of years you know, labor is seeing a new moment right now. And I think one of the big trends that I'm watching is to see if this can ever really amount to enough of a push that it actually begins to reverse some of the trends of the last several decades that we've seen really since the Reagan years and a little before, and these declines in union membership. If this wave of new organizing is going to be enough to overcome some of that.
I feel like you could almost, again, in a crude fashion, you could bookend it with Reagan firing the air traffic controllers and then Act 10 here in Wisconsin, where in between those, it was a period where there was very little in the way of victories for union represented workers, at least well-known victories. There were always, you know, new contracts and things like that. But, you know, Act 10 was really a wake-up call for a lot of people. Not just in the public sector, but in the private sector as well. You mentioned Starbucks, but you know, I know there have been a couple of others, like I think Colectivo, is that the name of the chain that's down that way? And I think one or two others, where what is it about? I know they're chains, so they're not like your mom and pop small business. But when I say compared to an automaker, I'm talking about small business. What is it about at this smaller level that has workers saying, you know, that in this coffee shop or developing, you know, these video games or whatever, I need something better? Because it isn't just about the size of their paycheck, is it?
No, it's certainly not. In fact, in a lot of the cases that I'm talking to workers, that's not the impetus. Pay usually factors in. It's something that these workers always want is a larger paycheck if they can get it. But a lot of the times, the thing that is spurring them just as much as benefits is working conditions, especially in these coffee shops. I just did another story about a spontaneous walkout of a Starbucks that happened here in Madison at our State Street location. The workers there walked off the job spontaneously one day. They just organized a union. But they spontaneously walked off the job because the conditions there, they're so understaffed and corporate won't give them any additional workers that, you know, it just became intolerable for them. Pay aside, it was just, you know, they're getting covered in coffee, having to deal with so many new orders every minute. They are completely overwhelmed. And that's one of the things that they're going to be fighting for in their contract negotiations if they can ever get a sit down meeting with Starbucks. And they haven't yet. But if they can ever get those meetings, what they want to push for is better staffing, among other things. But you see that, you know, I've covered a number of these small labor fights here in the Madison area at just about every shop that goes to unionize. It's not about pay. It is just as much about those working conditions, about trying to turn some of these, especially the service sector jobs. That's where we're seeing a lot of this new union push, trying to turn some of these service sector jobs that have traditionally been high turnover industries into something where workers feel that they can make a long-term career out of.
And once you take care, you set aside the pay and you set aside the staffing numbers, it seemed, if I were talking about it for the past couple of years or more here, the other factor that I would have thought weighs rather heavily into this would be work schedules. Because once upon a time, you knew you were working, you know, a set shift and you were always working that set shift. But in so many businesses now, your work schedule's all over the place. It's tough to arrange things like, you know, childcare or what have you. And to me, it always comes back to this notion of what's called just-in-time scheduling, just-in-time inventory, and companies are trying to be nimble and efficient. And I get that. I get the need to try to be nimble and efficient. But at some point, you take it to a level where your employees are just like, I can't schedule my life, around this. You saw it with the railroad workers as well, with taking sick days. Calendars and work schedules, that is another big factor, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. The just-in-time scheduling is a big factor, especially in these service sector jobs. I mean, you referenced the railroad workers, where people might be the most familiar with that just-in-time scheduling framing. But it's part of so much service industry work right now a lot of workers are pushing back how do you build a life around a schedule that you can't rely on or make long-term plans around? And a lot of workers are choosing to go down the union route because they know that they can get better scheduling and things along those lines in their contract agreements if the boss will negotiate with them. But of course, things like Wisconsin being a right to work state make some of those negotiations, having them, very difficult. But you referenced childcare, which I don't know if people see, you know, as a labor issue directly, but it certainly is. I've been doing a lot of reporting in that area as well, simply because if people don't have access to childcare, they leave the workforce altogether. And being able to have a reliable schedule so that you can get reliable childcare amid an ongoing childcare shortage is just as much a workplace issue as just-in-time scheduling is.
And now we get to a new category of what is an employee? And I don't know if this is part of the video game one or not, but I certainly know in other places people are told, you know, well, while you work for us or you work here, what have you, you're an independent contractor. And as a result, you get treated differently. And in some cases, that might be correct. And in other cases, it might be employee misclassification, which is actually a big no-no for companies. Can you explain some of what is the background of that and what has some workers steamed at the way they're being treated either as employees or contractors?
Yeah, absolutely. What an employee is, it's not something that we've seen, that independent contractor thing isn't something that we've seen so much in the video game industry, or at least the reporting I've done on the video game industry around it. But a lot of different workplaces are choosing to go the independent contractor route in terms of how they hire new employees. They'll go through some of these staffing companies that will provide workers on an independent basis through independent contracts, because then you'll find there are a lot of sneaky ways that these companies have to try and bring employees on without having to give them benefits or make them eligible to be part of workplace unions. And I know that locally here in Madison, we've seen a company, a financial services company, TrueStage, do this, where they are replacing unionized workers, that as those workers are fired, quit, retire, they're being replaced with independent contractors who are not eligible to join the union. And the union's membership has dwindled over the years from, I think, that particular union, OPIU Local 39 here in Madison, had a membership of over, certainly over 1,000, and I think it was over 1,600 at its height. And that has dwindled to about 450 as these workers have been slowly replaced and outsourced. to these independent staffing agencies. And if you don't have, if you're a union looking at this, seeing your membership slowly dwindle, I mean, that's an existential crisis, this issue of the company doing this thing that if these workers are independent contractors, they don't necessarily work for the company. They're not eligible to join a workplace union. They could form a union of independent contractors if they wanted, but those workers are generally spread out across the country. This is just one of the struggles of the embracing that we've seen of remote work since the pandemic, where these workers are now spread out across the country. It's hard for them to get together. It's hard for them to organize. And makes it that much more difficult for them to unionize and not necessarily automatically qualify to join the already existing workplace unions in the physical locations like True Stages, Madison campus here to me locally. So that's just one example of that independent contractor route. Some of the other industries where you see that are in some of the tech disruptors that you've seen in like food delivery service. So things like services like Uber Eats or rideshare companies like Uber, like Lyft, where all of their employees are categorized as independent contractors. And then the company is able to avoid having to provide benefits to a lot of these workers who in a lot of cases are working exclusively for that company, are working more than a full-time equivalent number of hours for that company, but don't get any benefits out of that because they are technically independent contractors. And that's good for these companies because those benefits cost money and they don't have to give it to these employees. So you've seen a lot of these companies in several states around the country, not so much here in Wisconsin yet, but you've seen a lot of these states start to push these companies to recognize these workers for what they are as employees.
And you talk to any trial attorney who's had to represent workers who get injured on the job, and the company, you know, says, well, they're not an employee, so we're not responsible for what happened to them. That can get into be some long, expensive fights as well. So time for just one last question here. And again, JT, I know you're closer in age, so this is a generational question. I represent a generation that had seen the air traffic controllers get fired and essentially did not fight very hard, said, well, this is just the world that we live in. Younger workers are not doing that. Is this a trend that you feel will continue, this generational shift into saying we collectively deserve to be treated better?
Absolutely. And I say that with such confidence because that's what I'm hearing from labor organizers in my area, is that, yes, as you say, Pat, that's not just a perception thing. It's real. The younger generation is not putting up with, the decline in unions. They want workplace unions and they're fighting for them. A lot of times they're leading the charges for them. In fact, a lot of the people that I am interviewing in my work every day are millennials or Gen Z because they're the impetus and momentum behind these pushes. And I think it's just because we've seen such an erosion of workplace rights over the years that these younger people are finally saying enough is enough. I have my whole life ahead of me. I want some of these protections that my parents' generation had. So I'm going to fight for it.
And so right they are to do it. JT Seskowski, this was fantastic. Thank you so much. Appreciate getting to talk to you again. It's been a while. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. When we come back, Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show coming up next. You're up north.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
A little fog this morning, then it is going to be mostly cloudy with a few off and on sprinkles here throughout the day. Our high 67, the wind east at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, but there will be a little more sunshine, especially in the afternoon, high of 71. We're going to kick it back to summer for the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Lots of sunshine with highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
On the road again. We are going to catch up with journeyman talker Todd Alba coming up in just a bit. Just a reminder that coming up next across the Civic Media Radio Network, we have Earl Ingram in Waukesha, Green Bay and Racine, Stu Daniels in the Chippewa Valley, La Crosse, Hayward and Oshkosh, Chad Holmes in Wausau, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James Jay and the gang in Wisconsin Rapids. It's all followed by As Goes Wisconsin, then the noon news, then Town Call at 12:15, and then this guy at 1 o'clock, Todd Alba, sipping his coffee out on... Where are you? Last I saw you was up here in Chippewa Falls, where, and that's only because you got kicked out of Eau Claire for trying to imitate a homeless person or something. Where are you? Where are you now? You're outside someplace.
I'm back home. Okay. I'm back home in Madison on my balcony here, looking out over the tree line off of John Nolan Drive. So there you go.
Okay. Because I know you made a bit
beautiful.
Of a.
I thought it's a good reminder for all of us to be outside.
Hey, I'm never going to complain about fresh air here in Wisconsin when you can get it. But no, it was great that you came up on the road. I joined you for your show from the studio in Chippewa Falls, that a studio that isn't a studio, as we've said a couple of times here, that they are it's constructed, but we're trying to get them wired, control boards, all that other stuff. So you brought a control board with you. You brought the microphones. You brought a couple of tables. You brought everything but lunch. And I won't forget that you didn't bring lunch. But we had a really good show doing that.
Sorry.
And only because, to explain the homeless reference, Todd initially thought he was going to broadcast from the farmer's market in Eau Claire, if I'm not mistaken. And if you've ever been there, all these
beautiful pavilion.
And look, for people of my age and maybe Todd's age as well, you would see that there's all these outlets and you'd think, oh, I'll just plug into one of those outlets. But in this day and age, to prevent what we might put an encampment there, those outlets are not always live, as you discovered to your horror minutes before you were going to go on the air.
It was tight. I was guest hosting with Jane McNair and Greg Bach, as our colleague, Kristen Bry, whom I talked to yesterday on my way back from Eau Claire. She and her husband, Mike, are going to, I sound like I'm Dr. Lyerly here. They're going to the OBGYN ward today to induce, and they're going to have their child today. So congratulations and thoughts and good vibes with Kristen and Mike today.
Yes. Well.
So anyway, so I was going to fill in on that show, and so I was like, literally quarter till 10, and I had no electricity. I booked it back to my sister and brother-in-law's, and I did As Goes Wisconsin from their kitchen.
Well, that worked out well, and then you came up and did your show from up here in Chippewa Falls. And by the way, over in Wausau, the studio for Bull Falls Radio is ready and getting going either this week or early next week. I saw a post on Facebook about that, so that makes me happy.
I believe so. And just to make Chad Holmes feel at home, I believe they're going to take a stuffed rat to the new place.
To remind him of the old place. Yeah, some of these old radio. There's a reason we're not using the old studio in Chippewa Falls under previous management, if you know what I mean there.
Yeah.
It's going to be great when Bull Falls Radio has their thing going, and then hopefully the Chippewa Falls studio is not too far down the line after that. But yeah, that's great news about Kristen with little Asgos. Junior Asgos absolutely is going to come at some point today.
She sounded great, but I mean, you know, I've never gone through parenting. I'm not a parent myself. I'm certainly not a woman, so I can't tell you what it feels like. But you know, just a lot of emotion, anticipation, but I mean, you know, Krista, she's a pro at everything she does. Oh, so yes. I mean, she was cool, calm, and collect, and ready to take this on. So I wish she and Mike the best.
Yes, without a doubt. Hey, tonight will be the second Republican presidential primary debate. Donald Trump again. Skipping that and skipping any questions about the virtual death penalty that's about to be imposed on his organization. I've already told the folks here that, you know, I followed the first debate closely and wrote it up because it was in Milwaukee. And, you know, there might have been some kind of a Wisconsin reference. There wasn't really. I'm not really planning to pay close attention to tonight's debate at the Reagan Library in California. But I guess I have to ask anyway, do we think that between that debate, Trump's appearance, and what that court ruled yesterday, do we think there's going to be some kind of a headline coming out of everything tonight, or are we just kind of expecting business as usual?
I think the biggest headline in the Republican debate was made in Madison, Wisconsin last night on the campus when former Speaker Paul Ryan, and Wisconsin native, sat there and flat out said, if Donald Trump is the nominee, we lose the presidency and we'll lose seats in Congress. And that's the headline, I think, because until the Republican National Committee comes to terms with what Paul Ryan said last night in Madison, they are on a bad course. And I think, once again, it's going to be really interesting to see. I will watch it, but I think it'll be interesting to see, are any more of these people on stage for Republican nomination going to flat out tell the truth? And just say, look, how can we possibly have any sort of credibility with the general electorate, not Trump world, not mega cult world, but with the general electorate? Are we going to have any credibility if we don't just call it like it is? And that's, I think that's what's in vogue right now, right? You had Adam Kinzinger in Madison at the Ideas Fest, which Civic Media helped sponsor, along with Bernie Sanders. Adam Kinzinger calling out Mike Gallagher over in Green Bay, saying, you know what, this guy was telling us behind the scenes he was going to vote to impeach Trump, and at the end he did because he was afraid for his seat, afraid of the mega base. You had Tammy Baldwin here in Madison calling out Bob Menendez on the Republican or the Democratic side, saying, you know what, it's time for him to do the right thing and step down. So you got Tammy Baldwin and you got Adam Kinzinger, two different sides doing the right thing. Paul Ryan, a little late, but God bless him. I'll give him credit. He called it out last night in Madison. Are any of these people on stage tonight at the Reagan Library going to have that same type of courage?
And to the degree, will they call out their, again, the extreme right of their party that is getting set to hurt millions of Americans in shutting down the government and downplaying it? Some of these members of Congress saying, oh, well, this is just a pause. You know, they're not going to get hurt the way that the people who, you know, clean the Capitol and the people who serve in the military who have to go without a paycheck for a while. They have no clue. And I'll be curious to see if any Republicans on stage actually call them out to say, don't let this happen.
Here's where we're at, Pat, and you'll appreciate this. Last night, I only saw the clip on the Twix, combination of Twitter and X. On the Twix last night, on Craig Ferguson coined that. I can't take credit. But on Twix last night, you had Newt Gingrich on Fox calling Matt Gaetz crazy and saying that the Republicans in Congress have left the crazy town train.
Oh,
when Newt Gingrich is calling you crazy,
no, I'm sorry,
you know,
I'm sorry,
you've gone too far.
Sorry, Dr. Frankenstein, you don't get to criticize the monster that you built.
Well, yes, right.
And I did the same with Paul Ryan earlier this hour about, you know, your credibility is limited on this because you built a career off of attacking government and cutting without really setting a boundary for don't go beyond, you know, this point. And now we've blown past that to the point where so many people are going to be hurt, but not the politicians who can pander to the extreme, and they'll be fine. They always are. And you'll hear more about this from Todd Alba on his fine radio program coming up at 1:00. Thank you, sir.
Pat Critlow, you're the best. Cheers, a cup of coffee to you up there at Lake Wistota.
Hey, bless your heart. All right, talk to you later. And thanks in advance for filling in for me on vacation later this week and next week.
You have a great time.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to do one more show here tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. In the meantime, have a great Wednesday. We'll see you come Thursday morning.
The simple click of a seatbelt can mean the difference between life and death. But don't just take it from me.
As a nurse for the last 34 years, I've seen way too many people seriously hurt in crashes because they weren't wearing a seatbelt. Please protect yourself. Spare your family and emergency responders from needless trauma. Buckle up. Every seat, every trip, every time.
A life-saving message sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.